Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. Greg, how's it going?
It's going well. Staying busy. How about you?
Always busy, of course. Not as busy as you these days, though, maybe. I don't know. You've got so much stuff going on. We've got the big reveal coming at some point. You know,
at some point. It's still a little ways off, but we will do a big reveal. But I tell you, it does keep me up at night. I have so many different ideas going through my head, different thoughts. You know, you can only do so much during the day on your computer, researching, all this kind of stuff to kind of prep for this big reveal at some point.
Right. By the way, the big reveal is a new business venture that Greg is working on. So we'll just for those of you that didn't hear that in our last couple of shows.
Yeah, it's a new business venture. But then I lay down at night and I'm just like, my wheels are turning. Yeah. I can't turn it off.
I do the same. It's so hard to like, outside of business, I also do, you know, some volunteer stuff and I'm on a board and we've got a fundraiser coming up, the other night at like, you know, 2 a.m. I'm like, oh, that's how we should do this. I find myself getting up and taking notes. Said that. Yep.
I woke up in the middle of the night, over the weekend and in my head, I realized, oh, that's how I'm going to break down the revenue model. As I'm going to break it down a different way. And I shot down to my computer, got on, you know, Excel, and I'm just, you know, creating a whole new revenue model for the potential business. Right. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I need help.
You do. This is where, so, you know, we've been doing a bunch of shows about AI. Maybe we need like a dream AI that'll put you in that dream state. Or be your dream state where you can come up with flick on that AI during the day instead of at night.
As long as that dream state is not running numbers through my head in the middle of the night anymore.
Exactly. We got to get rid of that.
That was just sick. That was sickness.
Well, you know, the nice thing is, you know, like I said before in another episode, I said, you starting a business now, you do get a little bit of a jump start because there's so many things that you can do now that you couldn't do, you know, back in the, whatever, you're starting a business in the 90s. There's no AI for you to go, you know, create your social media messages, your emails and your landing page content and all the various things that you need to do. You got to write all that stuff yourself or come up with the ideas yourself. But now you've got all that for you.
The company I currently own and run, you know, started in 2001. You think about what was the technology back in 2001 that I was dealing with. Right. And, you know, websites, they're out, but it wasn't nearly, you know, what they are now. And it's night and day over the past 24 years. I mean, it's amazing how technology has changed and AI is really advancing things very quickly. And it's an exciting technology. And I'm seeking to understand more and more about it.
Great. Well, and, you know, over in my company, we're there's so much movement on the AI front. And, you know, we do a bunch of integrations for companies, right? Over at Beeswax, like custom software and integrating that custom software and other things. And of course, AI is high on the list there, you know, to create better workflows and, you know, make better messaging and, you know, take some of that, you know, efficiency, shortcuts that you can take now as a small, medium sized business that maybe only the big enterprise businesses could do before. So it's really cool. And on those lines, we actually have, from Blaze AI, we've got Adam Nathan. He's the CEO and founder of the company. And, you come from a family of entrepreneurs, don't you, Adam?
Yeah. Well, great to be here, Russ. And, indeed I do. My brother is also an entrepreneur. He runs a direct to consumer cookware company called Caraway. Our parents are entrepreneurs. They run a small business together in New York City, where I'm from. And my grandfather was an entrepreneur too. So spent a lot of my childhood watching my parents work together at the dinner table, watch my mom balance the books at night, my dad constantly on the phone with customers. So it was definitely in the water.
It's sort of a thing, right? It's addicting. It's like, oh, you see this and you learn that. And it's like, oh, this is what I want to do.
To be honest, it didn't really cross my mind that my career was to be a founder until maybe when I was, you know, 27 or 28. So did a lot of other things before starting businesses. But once I figured it out, it was like a light bulb in my head. And, you know, I don't think I can do anything else at this point. Right. I love my job. It's the best thing I've ever done. And, you know, I hope I get to do it in some form or another for the next 30 or 40 years.
Both my grandparents on both sides of my family, my mom's side and my dad's side, were both entrepreneurs. They own their own businesses. But then my parents, completely opposite. They went into corporate America, or my mom went into the education system, and they had the same jobs their whole careers. Once my dad started with Kaiser, my mom started as a teacher and then a counselor. They just stayed and did the same thing their whole lives. Because I was raised in that environment, I kind of thought, oh yeah, I'm just going to go kind of corporate type thing, do something in business. And then I guess it just jumped a generation, the entrepreneurial spirit, because I totally related to my grandparents and said, you know what? I got to do my own thing. This, you know, working for other people is all right, but it's not really what gets my juices flowing. What got you wanting to, you know, what was that moment that you wanted to start your company? Or start your first company?
Yeah, great question. This Blaze is actually the third company I've started. So, and certainly the biggest and most successful, but I've definitely been working on a startup for a while now. And the moment was, maybe when I was 25, I went to Harvard Business School for graduate school. I actually got into HBS when I was an undergrad. So I had no idea really what business school was. When I showed up, I was surprised that it was a big deal for a lot of people, but not knowing what I wanted to do, I also didn't know what I wanted to do afterwards. And between the 2 years, everyone does a summer internship. Most people want to do consulting or investment banking. I was pretty lost. So I figured I wanted to work for a company with a really good culture because I cared a lot about management. I cared a lot about building excellent products with a high-performing team. And so I went to work at Apple. I had never even owned an Apple device before. They had to send me an iPhone. I was on the iPhone product marketing team. So it was kind of ironic, but I had never even owned an iPhone. I didn't know much about Apple. So, you know, imagine a little ignorant me showing up on the first day for my internship, which coincided with the start of the WWDC Worldwide Developers Conference that Apple holds every summer to announce new versions of iOS. And it was here in San Francisco. I remember getting to the Moscone Center, our conference center, and just being surprised by the like tens of thousands of people that had already lined up by 7 a.m. to get into the keynote. And I was able to get in, you know, pretty early because I was a VIP with the company. But when they let people in the room, I remember people running to their seats and just like trying to get, you know, as close as possible to the stage where Tim was going to be talking about new features. And then afterwards, I went to sit in a park outside the conference center and just watched in amazement all of these people, all these engineers excitedly download the new SDKs and APIs from Apple to start building with them. And it hit me then that like the thing I wanted to do was build something that thousands of people would be excited to use every day that would make their lives better. And it was just this like, oh yeah, this is my calling. This is my path. And you know, that wasn't the end of the story. That was just the start of it. It had obviously taken me years since then to get to the point where we're having that kind of impact on people. But I just knew then that I wanted to build something that would make people happy, would make people's lives better, the same way that Apple's products do every day for, you know, many, many, billions of people around the world.
I've been to those, by the way. Yeah. The developer conference. Oh man, there's so many people, and it's just so exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, I haven't been to the new one where it's you know at the spaceship, but the ones at the Moscone.
But it's cool awesome. Because there's so much energy, right? I think that's kind of what you saw when you went there. You like it's so much enthusiasm and energy. Like, what's the next thing? Right. How can I take advantage of that next technology that Apple's coming out with? And everybody's looking for it. Right. There's rumors going around for weeks or months prior. And then you get there and you go, oh, the reveal. It's so cool.
Blaze is not at the same scale as Apple. We have millions of users. They have hundreds of millions of devices, billions of users. But we have a channel in our internal Slack called LoveWall, where we post things people hear throughout the day from our customers or success stories that we record. I talk to two or three customers every week. Our team interacts with hundreds of them. And it's, you know, even though we're at a smaller scale, the most gratifying part of my job is just hearing about how Blaze has helped our customers grow faster and actually make more money and what that means for them. The time that they get back, the control they feel over their lives. I've had customers tell me that they were able to take their wife on a vacation for the first time in 2 years because of the money and time Blaze has saved and earned for them. You know, we have customers who just have a whole different outlook on life because of the tool, and to know that we are making that kind of impact on people. But then, of course, you multiply it for all the people that we don't talk to. That's the best part of the job. That's why I do what I do, and why it's easy to wake up in the morning, even though the work is very hard. Often, we have also communities that we started this year, and I think every time we start a community, we get like thousands of people joining it within the first couple hours, and it's those bursts of enthusiasm that really show us that we're really onto something in terms of what we're building, that there's not just a need for customers for the functional aspects of the product, but there's love for the experience we've built. There's deep identification with our brand. People are proud to use our product and talk about it with their friends. And that's lots of companies obviously can make money with what they build, but I think there's way fewer companies that build love for their products and their brand. Yeah. And I think that's been, I think, the coolest part of what we've done to date, is just feeling like we have that magic at Blaze.
You know, that's like one of the things that we do, like that's why we do this podcast, or one of the things, you know, it's like, it's helping these small, medium sized businesses that, you know, it's rough, you know, like you said, you've started three different businesses. It's hard to get just the idea alone, just to start it. And then all the stuff that you need to do to make it work and run and, you know, get the repeating customers and the recurring revenue and get new customers and get, you know, like all the things that you have to do. It's a struggle every day, and it's a lot of work. So it's great that you know, you've put this software together to help out people. We haven't really mentioned exactly what the software does. So let's do that before we dig much deeper here.
Yeah. So Blaze is the number one AI marketing tool for small businesses and teams of one. You can think about it like a virtual marketer. It generates content in your brand voice and style. So social media content, video, ads, newsletters, landing page, blogs, websites, in a matter of seconds. And it also allows you to edit those in a document editor and Visual Studio for social media content. It's also a content management system. So Blaze can schedule and post and analyze content for you directly to, 20, 30 different platforms across social media and SEO. And so it's really basically a replacement for hiring a full-time marketer or spending a lot of money on an agency or spending hundreds of hours trying to figure it all out yourself with 20 different tools. When we started the company, people compared us initially to Canva or to ChatGPT, but now our customers compare us to a real person. And so Blaze essentially is able to do your marketing for you. And we really focus on helping folks that have to do great marketing to grow their business that aren't professional marketers themselves. They don't have the time, the skills, or the money to do marketing, but they need to do it to make more money and to grow. And, you know, we've done a lot of surveys of our customers. On average, we help our customers grow three times faster in terms of revenue growth within the first 5 or 6 months of using the product.
Nice.
And the crazy part is, like, for 1/10,000th of the amount of money that many of our customers would have spent on an agency or a person.
Or virtual assistant. Yeah. I mean, what you'd pay for a virtual assistant, for an hour is what they're paying you guys for a month.
Our product's $49 a month. So I think it's a steal, and we're happy to offer it for, you know, that price. We want to make it affordable for folks. But yeah, the reality is a lot of our customers were spending $10,000, $20,000 on an agency just for one channel, just for something like SEO. They were hiring, you know, their friend's daughter who graduated from college to do their Instagram
right.
or their TikTok, but often with very poor results. Like they were doing some stuff, but it wasn't really working. And so a lot of our customers come to us with zero followers or have no ranking on SEO. And within months, they're on the first page of Google, they have 10 or even 100,000 followers. And so it's really awesome to see the results. But, you know, I'm always just amazed by the efficiency of like what that growth actually costs them. It's often, you know, pennies on the dollar compared to what the alternatives are for folks.
Well, see, so that's the thing, Greg. I told you, you know, things are easier for you now things to start this business, easier, right? Versus your 2001 business.
I haven't started my business yet, right? Or this business. I have my other business that's been going for 23 years, right? But is that your sweet spot? Is like working with a startup or is a sweet spot after they've been in business for a year, 2 years, and they just are realizing they need help with their marketing? What's the right type of client for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'd say about a third of our customers are in the 0 to 1 phase. Like they're not doing anything really.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
To SEO. They're not doing anything related to social media. They don't have a website yet. They're not sending emails. Another 30 to 40% are doing some stuff, but it's really not working. They're posting photos of their dogs or their grandchildren or the American flag, but they're not talking about their products and services, really. They're not targeting their customers in any compelling way. And another third of our customers are somewhere moving up the curve, but they're really looking to not just get started, but get efficient and scale their time by repeating what they do 10x, but for a tenth of their time. I think really where we specialize though is in the type of customer, which is really small teams. We call them teams of one. So entrepreneurs, founders, solo marketers, solopreneurs, consultants, agencies, basically the backbone of the American economy. We serve life coaches, nutritionists, financial advisors, real estate agents, Shopify store owners, mom and pop shops down the street. I buy a bunch of products from our customers because I love seeing what they do. But I bought candles and I bought dog food and treats. I bought pillows. I bought online sessions. It's the types of people that you probably buy from every day, online and offline. And so what unites all those people is that they have to do marketing. Marketing is core to their business, but they're not professional marketers. They're not trained in it. They haven't worked in Silicon Valley for 10 years and they're wearing 10 different hats every day. And so while marketing is often a full-time job, just figuring out, what to post on one social media channel can take one person's time for a week. But all of our customers are also servicing customers. They're paying bills. They're coming up with new ideas. They're dealing with regulations and government stuff. And so they don't have the time. They don't have the money. They don't have the skills. And we try and do that for them with Blaze.
I was about to say, starting a business now is easier, but it's also harder. Like when I started a business, I didn't have to worry. Like, when I started a business back in in the 90s, back in like 96, I didn't have to worry about social media, right? I had to worry about, where I was going to place in the phone book. Now there's so many things that you have to worry about as a small business, and the marketing side is definitely a huge one. But let's talk about ways maybe a small business can leverage some of the like AI, whether it be Blaze or just AI in general, to compete with the big enterprise budgets.
Yeah, so I'll start at the beginning, similar to your question, Greg, around like what we help customers with who don't have anything. And as I mentioned, that's a lot of folks who come to Blaze. The first thing we ask customers for is their website to create what we call a brand kit. And so really, I think why customers love Blaze is that all of the content we generate for you looks and sounds like you. It doesn't, a lot of stuff you might create on ChatGPT or in Claude sounds and looks like the internet. It doesn't reflect your colors or your fonts or your photo vibes or how you talk about your products. Doesn't know anything about the customers you serve or how you structured your business. At Blaze, we've invested in a really comprehensive set of personalization tools where we can learn about you, learn about your products, services, customers, business, so that the output that we generate is highly specific, and actually hopefully sounds even better than what you might do on your own, but certainly will take you seconds to produce. So all we need often is a website for customers to generate this brand kit. It does it in a matter of seconds. But we don't even need a brand website if you don't have one. All we need is like a paragraph. Maybe you've talked about your business in a text message, or in a one pager, or in a funding proposal. You can insert that into Blaze, and we can generate a brand kit for you. Meaning, we can generate a brand voice based on how you've talked about your business. We can propose colors and fonts and logos for you, so we can basically help you go from zero to one on a brand in the first place. Then the question we get from a lot of customers after that is like, okay, now that I have a brand, like, what do I write about? And Russ, your question, like, what channel should I be investing in? And so Blaze can also generate a marketing plan, a content plan for you. Just with your website, we can identify who your competitors are, who your likely customers are, what makes your product specific and different and better. And then from that, help you prioritize channels, and then ideas in those channels, ideas for those customer personas, basically what you'd hire a marketing consultant to do. And then from that, so that kind of tells you who you should focus on, where you should invest with your content. And then, of course, we can generate, based on those channels, social media content for you, blog posts, emails for sales outbound. And so many customers come in not needing everything I just mentioned, but a surprising number do often have this first question of like, where do I even start? Because as you guys mentioned, folks are not marketers. They're not spending their days thinking about how to master social media or SEO. And so we have done a lot of work to try and help customers who haven't put in that time or don't know the answers to those questions quickly get up to speed and get going.
Yeah, it seems like email marketing is, not being replaced, but being enhanced by social media marketing. Right. It seems like you can reach a lot of people that is your audience through the right type of social media campaigns versus trying to do a targeted email blast or something like that. You know, obviously there's the spamming issues that are going on that are challenging for people that are relying solely on emails. So how much of like the mix that you put together for most businesses is social versus email versus landing pages, all the different types of ways that you can engage?
Yeah, you probably heard me already talk about two channels more than the others, which are SEO, which is basically Google search, and social media, which is Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Twitter. The reason I think those are the two best channels these days is because they're really oriented around discovery. The algorithms on those products are designed to put a product that no one's heard of before in front of people who might be interested in it. And even social media, you might have noticed on your own accounts, things like Instagram and LinkedIn have gone from sharing your content with people you know, your friends, now to sharing your content with people who might be interested in it. So the algorithms, and that helps those platforms grow, keep people engaged. But really what they're looking for is compelling content that somebody is interested in, which is actually good for new businesses because it can help you go from zero, where no one knows anything about you, to the right audience really, really quickly, so long as you have compelling content, which means the creative has to be really good. You have to be targeting it at the right people. If you do that, the algorithm will learn who might be interested in your content and put it in front of more and more of those folks. So I think if you haven't done anything, if you're starting from no customers, no awareness, investing pretty deeply in social media, especially if you're a consumer or a small business product, Google search and or Google search, if you're like a local business, you have a specific service for a specific area, those are often the best channels that can help you ramp up sales pretty quickly.
So what about like optimization for AI? I've been looking a lot into this and seeing I've been doing SEO since the days of the silly little tricks that you would do back in the 90s, early 2000s, and now it's like I feel like we've got to prepare for the next wave, which is somebody just find me, you mentioned candles, find me the local candle shop, asking an AI for that instead of asking Google for that. Are you guys set for that, or and what you know, maybe just answering that in general for a small, medium-sized business, what should they be doing to prep for that?
Honestly, I don't really think, I'm not really concerned about that. And I don't think our customers or small businesses should be either. You know, there may be a future where something like ChatGPT challenges Google for search. I don't think we're there yet. And even Google, of course, will invest, as you probably see on their results page, with their own Gemini AI to enhance their search results. But search results are still basically crawling the internet for useful content. And so, and the way Google search still works, even after lots of optimizations, is they're looking to connect people with relevant content that helps answer their question, which is what people want. That's, if Google didn't do that, people wouldn't use Google anymore. And so at the end of the day, success, I think, in building awareness is producing useful content for people. So if someone's searching for local candles, you know, having a website full of great content about your products, information about candles generally, that'll help you rank highly in your area. A lot of our, you know, customers are, again, just not, what they're doing online isn't working at all. You know, they might have a website, but it's totally unoptimized. They don't have any of the basics set around SEO, and it's just to focus on SEO. You know, it's there's probably a long tail of optimizations you can make once you're in a good place, but like the simple truths are still hold, which is like you need to be publishing blog posts very frequently. They need to mention keywords about your products that are what people are searching. The content has to not just be spammy, but actually be useful and answer people's questions. You know, you need to create backlinks to other relevant products that establish trust in your website. You know, if you do those basic things, like you're gonna get move up the rankings on Google. You know, I talked to a customer the other day who is a solopreneur running a drone company in El Paso, and before Blaze, he was on like the 51st page of Google, and now he's the number one search result in El Paso for drone services, to the extent that he has so much volume coming to his website. He's built courses, he's built new product offerings, he started his own podcast, and he didn't do anything special there. He just did the basics right, and that's what Blaze and I think by extension AI tools can help you do. You know, Blaze is infinitely patient. It doesn't get distracted. It doesn't try and over optimize. It just does the things you're supposed to do, and it does them continually while a human like you sleeps. And so you can grow overnight without putting a lot of work, without making things more complicated. And you know, AI, because it's a machine, because it's code, it can mitigate for some of the weaknesses humans like us have, which are sometimes like looking for some secret to growth, when in reality, most growth in business especially is simple. It's really hard because you have to do the same thing over and over again really well, but it's simple at the end of the day. And if you do the simple things right, I think you get 80% of the way there.
Yeah.
It seems like content is the key here, right? You got to have good content. And I'm, you know, my wheels are turning. I hear you talk about it. I'm like thinking like, oh, how would I get, you know, Blaze the content? And in my head, I'm thinking video, right? If I can shoot video after video after video, can I just upload that to the Blaze, and then you parse it out, make shorts for TikTok or maybe a little longer for Instagram, those types of things. And then obviously put it into blogs, get it on the website. Is that how Blaze works with the content, for video content specifically?
Yeah, so you're talking about what I call our advanced tools. So you can use Blaze to generate a single Instagram post or story or reel. You can use Blaze to generate a single blog post or newsletter or a website. But our advanced tools essentially allow you to do complex multi-step actions. So for example, you can create a multi-channel campaign. So Greg, let's say you're launching your business. You know, you can upload a source material, like maybe a press release you've written or some description, and you can select, you can upload is generate up to 200 different types of content. So you can generate a landing page for that. You can generate a lifecycle email. You can generate a PR announcement. You can generate a launch video, all from the same source material, and it'll put it in a folder for you. It will schedule, those pieces where you've already integrated between platforms and Blaze. So basically can create and manage a campaign for you. If you have something like this podcast recording, you can turn audio files, video files, websites, or documents into all different other types of content. So you can basically replicate content, like if you have a white paper or you have a website or some kind of source material like this podcast that you've invested a lot of time into, you can use that to build, you know, a syndicated campaign around. You can also use Blaze to generate and schedule and post. We always say up to a month's worth of content, but really it could be a quarter or a year's worth of content. So you can say, hey, Blaze, I want you to generate 90 videos for TikTok around this theme, around my new company. And Blaze will generate the video for it, generate the captions, put it in designs, assign it a scheduled date, write the copy or the copy underneath the post for you. And all of it is done in a transparent way. So you can stop at any point in time and say, hey, I don't like this image. I want to change this video. It's not an agent that's just kind of doing it for you. It can, but we think the magic is when our customers have control and clarity about what's going on, because often we think we can, our goal is to get you like a 90% really good draft, but we think there's still some, the magic of human creativity that is essential to making that content yours, making sure it's 100% right. And we want to give you that control. So, you know, Blaze can basically schedule. We have customers who have told me, like, I schedule a quarter's worth of content. I go away. I come back the next quarter. I do it again. I get it done in 10 minutes. And then the content posts for me, set it and forget it style. And so those advanced tools are for people, I think, that, you know the channel they want to talk in, they want to be in. They know their core messaging. And to your question before, Russ, I think great marketing is not saying one thing or like 100 different things once. It's saying one thing 100 times. I used to work at Lyft when it was a fairly big company, and you know, all of our marketing basically just said rides and minutes. Like everything we did said rides and minutes. And we had like millions of customers, and I was like, why are we saying rides and minutes? Like people know what we are. But the reality is most people still hadn't heard of Lyft, even though we were, right, you know, a multi-billion dollar company. And that's true of most businesses, that most of the people you talk to on the internet have never heard of you before. And so the reason people don't do that is because it's boring. Like no human wants to spend their time repeating themselves in slightly different ways,
yeah,
100 times in one channel and then copying it into a different channel and saying the same thing. That's where AI is really great. It can do that for you with really high quality, really fast, so that you can focus on other things that matter.
Yeah, I was going to make that same point. I mean, it's boring to write the same copy over and over and over and over again. And you know, to be able to just set up an AI to like, okay, let's just let this run. Great. Because yeah, that's where I think AI comes in handy in so many different ways, of just like the repetitive stuff that a person, you know, either doesn't want to do, because at some point, you know, you assign that to a marketer, the 90 videos, right? Well, the first 30 might be on brand. Once you get to 31, it's like, okay, let me make some changes. Let me get creative. Let me, you know, I mean, you're asking creative people to do something. So, you know, they're going to tweak.
I'm always surprised. I use it for my own content. If you follow me on Twitter or on LinkedIn, a lot of that is co-drafted with Blaze. And I think I'm a pretty smart person. I have a background in marketing. So I'm like, oh, I know how to do marketing, but I am consistently surprised by how good it is at just being better than what I would have done for a first draft. And, nice. And it does it in seconds instead of me sitting at my computer, you know, as a perfectionist worrying about if it's not going to be good enough and, you know, spending hours to try and get to something that's super painful, a super painful process. So I think it's pretty amazing. I'm obviously biased, but it's the time it saves, the quality it produces. And of course the cost, I think, like, just changed the game entirely for people who aren't professional marketers and don't have time or money to do this, but need it to grow.
So I used to work in radio, and, you know, we would schedule commercials out, you know, I mean, sometimes it would be like a week of commercials already logged in there. And, you know, there was always the manual process of the person playing the commercial, the DJ that would control it. Right. So we, you know, we had certain rules around that. So if, you know, there was a, you know, a huge, you know, whatever, a plane crash happens, and we've got a United spot that's about to run, we would pull the United spot, right? It was a part of their contract where they're like, if there is a, you know, a big problem, pull this, you know, and the computer's not going to do that because it's already selected the commercial to play at that particular time. So it would pull it. And same thing with, like, you know, if a vehicle, a certain brand gets into an accident, and we're talking about that in traffic, well, don't play that spot right out of it, because that's not going to look good for that person. Let's bump it, you know, to an hour later or something. So there was a lot of, like, kind of human interface right before something would get pushed out. But, you know, all the schedules were just, you know, put together by a computer. So what about this? If you're scheduling for an entire quarter, are you having to check in, or does the AI maybe adjust in any way towards like tone that might change, or, you know, looking at situations that might happen so that, you know, you're not going off track on a message?
It doesn't do that yet. You know what, it's not self-learning in that way where it's constantly pulling the news to assess if the content is relevant. I think,
okay, just created your next feature.
I haven't honestly heard that as an expectation from customers. It's not sentient.
Right.
And you know, I think that's what AI at the end of the day is, the way that the models work, essentially use past information to predict what you might want in the present. They can't take present information and predict what you should do in the future. And I think that's why the human role in marketing and content will actually increase in value the more that people have access to AI tools, because humans care about meaning. We care about scarcity, and the role of human creativity will become that much more valuable when it's pretty easy to get to a solid first draft on content, because machines can't predict what you would do in a specific situation moving forward. And so I don't even think it would be good for machines to get to that point, because I think that takes away what makes marketing really special at the end of the day, which is the authentic touch you put on a piece of content. And if you look at, you know, other spaces where we've industrialized or used technology to improve a good, like food, for example, you know, 50 years ago, whole countries were starving. It was really hard. You know, you couldn't get tomatoes all season long. People ate pretty unhealthy, pretty low quality food. Now we have access to amazing ingredients. We can make whatever we want any time of the year, any place in the world. But even though the floor for the quality and safety of food has gone up, you know, people like recipe books have become bestsellers. The popularity of cooking apps has exploded. There's a whole celebrity culture around chefs. There's tons of TV shows where you watch how humans do interesting things with ingredients. It's actually made the human element of cooking and food way more valuable and important. And I think the same thing will happen with content. I don't think the future will be a world where we're all like just mindlessly consuming blah content generated by machines. even though, yes, more people have access to the ability to create better content, but most people won't. And so that will mean that there'll just be a greater spectrum between what's really, really great and what's really, really bad, because there will be some folks out there that jump on this trend, that take advantage of the tools to express their own creativity in better ways. And there'll be way more folks that get left behind. And so I think people who embrace tools like Blaze will end up just with obviously faster growing businesses, more control, but also better brands, because people will value that content better, because I think it will express them more than trying to do it all on your own would.
So I've watched all those cooking shows, and the answer is salt.
A lot of
you gotta put it on there, right? You know, you gotta do the pinch.
Yeah, exactly.
It all comes down to those two ingredients. You use the right mix of those two things, you probably have a pretty good tasting dish. I'm curious that, you know, what if your Russ and I have used the example of a fencing contractor. We use that kind of as our go-to. Like, what if you're a fencing contractor, right? And it's pretty much a commodity. Everybody's using redwood fences, right? You put it in posts, certain amount deep, right? How does like a commodity type service or commodity product really differentiate themselves with AI? You know, how does AI, I guess, help differentiate them?
Yeah, we actually have a lot of customers like a fencing contractor using Blaze. We have a lot of landscaping companies. We have a lot of commodity suppliers. We have a lot of manufacturing companies. And, you know, assuming that those companies have spare capacity to serve more customers, a lot of it, I think, for them comes down to awareness, making people in their local market or industry know that they exist. They may not be able to differentiate on price or on, you know, the quality of the wood. But a lot of it for them is just, how do we, you know, get our name out there? It's like Russ's example earlier of the phone book. You can go on, you can make sure you're in the phone book, make sure that you have a Yelp page, but what if you have no reviews? You know, you can add yourself to Google Maps, but like, what if you have no customers? And so that's where I think content comes into play. It's just a way to, when people are searching for you on Google or when they're scrolling through their feed on Instagram, that you're just present. Differentiation is important in some industries, and it's probably good to have to say something about the quality of your service or, you know, your low prices or that you're, you know, a local provider. But I think just like the drumbeat of getting out there every day to tell people you exist is half the battle. Okay. It's again, just not overthinking your marketing too much. That the presence is really important. You know, if you look at who gets followers on social media, again, who ranks highly on SEO, it's half of the algorithm is just like the repetition of your content. How frequently are you posting? Overposting can be a problem, but most people aren't overposting; they're underposting. You know, posting once a month, not good enough. Posting once a week, not good enough. You need to post every single day. And of course, that content can't be spammy. It has to be good and useful and interesting and compelling. And that's really hard to do because who can think of a compelling post every single day? I can't, but Blaze can. But that's, you know, if I were a fencing contractor, you know, and I had extra time to do more jobs, I would just try and say, I'm a fencing contractor in Des Moines and I put up great fences. And if you just figure out how to say that slightly differently every day, I guarantee you'll get more customers.
Yeah, there's somebody, some contractor that I watch on like YouTube Shorts, who's always posting, just building stuff in his backyard or building stuff for a client. Like he just walks through the entire build. There's also like on TikTok, there's somebody that's doing like posting the mounting TVs. Like how interesting could that be? But they make it entertaining. They make it interesting. Like, oh, we ran into this problem when we were putting up this, you know, and it's like, you know, them carrying the TV and this huge, massive thing through this mansion to try to get it mounted. I mean, it's, you can create compelling content, you know.
And I love that stuff too. It's called like edutainment these days. And I right. watch a ton of stuff that I didn't think I'd be interested in.
Yeah, totally.
But you know, and a lot of people might, I still think that's even more advanced than you need to be if you're just getting started. Like, right. And Greg, I hear it in your question and I hear it when our customers, we do webinars every day with our customers, that predominant pre-Blaze emotion is anxiety. People are like, what do I do? Can I do it? I don't know how. And so, you know, that's why you hear me kind of re-emphasizing that you can be more basic than Russ's suggestion there. I think I look at our customers' social media pages before they start using Blaze, and most of them are not talking about their products at all. As I mentioned, they have like photos of their kids. They have a photo of a sunset over the beach. Like that's nice, but it's not related to who you serve, what you do, and what makes you better or special. And yeah. That's just like very basic stuff. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or really good with your phone or really creative to do that. Just talking about, you know, the basics of your business will get you further than you think. And then from there you can innovate and do more. But, you know, a lot of customers that we have they're not even walking. They're not even crawling. They're just standing still. And just, you know, so many people are in that position that even if you just start taking these baby steps, you're going to be ahead of your competition in your local market. And you're going to see, I think, more gains. I have been surprised, I should say, by the gains I've seen our customers make with just a little bit of effort and help with from a tool like Blaze.
Yeah, and I think it is good that you emphasize the crawl before you walk and walk before you run type of thing. Cause I feel like a lot of people too, they look at the run, you know, they look at the big sprint that they want to do at the end for this. So it's just this big, huge thing that they don't want to, you know, take a bite of the elephant, you know,
one bite at a time. About online content thing. These days is like, if it's bad, if it's shitty, like no one's going to see it because the algorithm won't promote it. So no one's ever going to see your bad content.
Right.
People only see your good content, because that's how the internet works. So, it's actually okay to try, because if you fail, it's going to be invisible anyway. I think people imagine like, you know, falling on a stage in front of folks, and that's not how it is. So the great thing about Blaze is that it will produce good content for you, but the algorithms will help you out by then showing that content to people who might be interested in it. And that creates a virtuous cycle of growth that ultimately leads to more money. And so if it's scary, I think that's what the main motivation I hear from our customers is, that they want more sales, they want more control. And they know that they have to try this new thing that they haven't done before. But that they figure it'll be worth it if they can crack it. And we're here to lower that activation energy, the effort required to get good at this stuff. Because yeah, you know, it is impossible to do if you don't have 10 years of experience in it. But thanks to Blaze, you don't need those years anymore. You don't need the skills or even the time. You can just use AI to do it for you.
And speaking of that, you do have a free trial where somebody could just jump in and see.
Yeah, we have a 7-day free trial. We also have a whole set of free resources. We have a free community with thousands of people based on verticals. So we have communities for agencies, local services, direct-to-consumer, store owners. So you can talk to people like you who are also figuring out how to grow their business and support each other. We have a ton of free content as well. And yeah, all that's available at blaze.ai.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today. Really, awesome. Really fun conversation.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adam. And thank you for listening, subscribing, and reviewing DIY for Business. The subjects that we cover on this podcast are selected with the goal of helping your business grow. All the information provided is opinion-based, and you might want to consult a professional to discuss your exact business situation. Greg and I want your company to succeed, and we are happy to take your questions. We'd also love to hear your ideas for future episodes. If there's an area of your business that you need some solid business advice or help, let us know, and we might be able to build an entire episode around it and get your questions answered. You can reach out to us by visiting our website, diyforbusinesspodcast.com. The link is in the podcast description, or just, you know, chat with us wherever you're listening to this right now. We thank you again for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business, where you are not alone.